We have talked often along the way about our Lord's words when he cleansed the temple, and he calls his house the temple. He calls it that it should be referred to as a house of prayer. So I'd like to read that text. And actually, the text in Mark chapter 11 adds a couple of words that some of the other writers don't add. So in Mark chapter 11 and verse 15, just a second here. I'm going to change my screen here. Mark chapter 11 and verse 15 says, "And they come to Jerusalem, and Jesus went into the temple and began to cast out them that sold and bought in the temple, and overthrew the tables of the money changers and the seats of them that sold doves, and would not suffer that any man should carry any vessel through the temple." So before we get to this next verse, I want to just mention a couple things that are running through my head, and if I don't mention them now, they will run right through my head and I'll never see them again. So be mindful, and this is just this is kind of unprepared, so bear with me. Be mindful that our Lord was crucified. One reason that our Lord was crucified is because of his identification of himself with God, that he was claiming to be God. And so as we go into the temple with our Lord, we are seeing him act as God. This is my house. And really, the Jews had kind of captured the Gentile part of the temple and had made it a place of commerce, so the Gentiles were unable to worship the Lord, worship God in the Gentile part of the tabernacle, of the temple. And so they were pressing out the Gentiles, the Jews, by their commerce. So there's quite a bit at play here. There's quite a bit going on that maybe not be evident right away. So verse 17 says, "And he taught, saying unto them, Is it not written, My house shall be called of all nations the house of prayer, but you have made it a den of thieves." So he's extending worship to the Gentiles. "It shall be called of all nations the house of prayer, but you have made it a den of thieves. The scribes and chief priests heard it and sought how they might destroy him, for they feared him." Why did they fear him? They feared him because of his incredible authority as God. They feared him. He was ruining them. He was challenging them. "And the scribes and the chief priests heard it. They sought how they might destroy him, for they feared him, because all the people was astonished at his doctrine. And when even was come, he went out of the city." So, this phrase, house of prayer, is somewhat intriguing because, as many of you know, with the conflict in Eastern Europe going on between Russia and Ukraine, and maybe you've been alerted to this as well, that even in America, we have some Russian friends, and even in America, people are equating American Russians, if they have any kind of a dialect or an accent, they're equating them with Putin and really being very despondent, be derogatory. But in Russia, the churches often are called prayer houses. It says right on the front of the church, prayer house. Same thing in many places in Ukraine. And so I was thinking about this, and I thought, our Lord said his house, my house, shall be called of all nations the house of prayer. This is before the church was established, but yet with the gathering of God's people, the gathering of God's people ought to be typified by prayer. He didn't say, my house should be called a house of preaching, although I am a preacher and I'm pro-preaching. He didn't say, my house should be called a house of counseling or music, which are all good things. My house should be called the house of prayer. And I had to think back, and this is convicting, and yet I'm not sure how to fix it necessarily. I had to think back of the churches that I've been in ministry in, two churches, one in Colorado, one in South Carolina. As people drive by these churches, are they thinking that's a place of prayer? Do Christians think of our churches as prayer houses? When we structure our services, do we structure them around prayer? And I'm not certain all the applications to this, except that largely we are not known about our praying. And this came to mind, and I'll conclude with this. This came to mind as I was talking to a man yesterday. It was just a man I'd never talked to before. It was a Zoom call. He was interested in our ministry, Acorn Global Advance, and I explained to him the prayer component of Acorn, and I explained to him our prayer meeting. He may even be here. I don't know. I invited him and sent him the link. He may even be here. But I explained to him what we're doing here, and he said, I think this could be the greatest kept secret ever, that God's people are praying together and God's people should pray together. So he said he's just very compelled and wanted to join in to our time of prayer. So I'm thankful that you folks are prioritizing God's people praying together. It's what really the church globally should be known for. And so I would even say if we could kind of, I think other versions put, and I haven't looked at the Greek text to know what's the most accurate, but other versions put of all nations after house of prayer. The King James puts it before house of prayer. But if we think of this, if it called of all nations, let's just say the house of prayer for all nations, we actually have a conduit of our praying. God's people praying together is a conduit that affects all nations. So we can be prayer. Our gathering together today is powerful in affecting other nations. And so we can be praying for gospel advance in a very powerful way because we're representing our Lord and we're a conduit of the authority of Christ to all nations. So what we're doing is very powerful and very important. And even to the point that our Lord designates that the gathering of his people ought to be typified by prayer. And may that be the case this weekend as we go into our prayer houses, into our worship places. May it be in our lives that people know even that we are serious about the matter of prayer. And may it be that God uses our time today as an influence to all nations as we are praying for the advance of the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ.